With you all this evening. We hear in today's liturgy the evangelist Saint Matthew, who will accompany us throughout this liturgical year. And Matthew today presents the beginning of Christ's public mission. We hear that it consists essentially in preaching the kingdom of God and healing the sick, showing that the kingdom is close at hand and is already in our midst. It is already and not yet. Or perhaps the kingdom of God is already and always more. Jesus began his preaching in Galilee, the region where he grew up. The outskirts in comparison with the heart of the Jewish nation, which was Judea, and in it, Jerusalem. In fact, if you visit Capernaum today, you'll see a large sign in English that says, Jesus' hometown. It's where he chose to reside to begin his public mission. But the prophet Isaiah, we heard in our first reading, had foretold that this land assigned to two tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali, would have a glorious future. We hear the people immersed in darkness would see a great light. In Christ's time, the term gospel was used by Roman emperors for their proclamations. And no matter the content of their message, they were described as good news or announcements of salvation, because the emperor was considered lord of the world and his every edict as a portent of good. And so the application of this phrase to Christ's preaching had a strongly critical meaning, as if to say God and not the emperor is lord of the world. And the true gospel is that of Jesus Christ. And so the good news which Christ proclaims might be summed up in what we heard today. Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, in another gospel. What do these words mean? They, of course, don't refer to a particular earthly region marked out in space or time, but rather to an announcement that it is God who reigns, that God is Lord, and that his lordship is present and actual, and it's being realized. And so the newness of Christ's message, as Pope Benedict XVI states, is that God himself is made close, close in Jesus, and now reigns in our midst, as the miracles and healings that Jesus works demonstrate. In other words, God, the totally other, the totally transcendent one, becomes totally immanent, reigning in the world through his Son, made man, with the power of the Holy Spirit, the finger of God. And so wherever Jesus goes, the Spirit brings life, and men and women are healed of diseases of body, and more importantly, spirit. Christ's lordship is manifest in the human being's integral healing, healing which we receive every time we attend Mass and hear God's word and receive Christ's sacraments. And so by this, Jesus wanted to reveal the face of the true God. John Paul II says, Christ reveals God to man and man to himself. The God who makes us a gift of life in abundance, his own life. And so the kingdom of God is life that asserts itself over death, the light of truth that dispels the darkness of ignorance and sin. We also hear in today's gospel the calling of the first four apostles. And I'd be remiss not to comment upon this, as this is my home parish, where I myself felt a call toward the priesthood. We can be certain, whether we know it or not, or live it or not, that our primary, our first vocation, is a person, Jesus Christ. We then have secondary vocations, holy matrimony, priesthood, religious life, consecrated single life. And thirdly, and most particularly, what we might call personal vocation. And this is how we specifically live our primary and secondary vocations. Father Wilson's priesthood, his share in Christ's eternal priesthood, is beautiful and is different than my own. We're called to a personal way of living out our vocation to priesthood. And this call is given to us every day and every moment of the day. And there are three ways in particular that we come to understand to what we're called: in prayer, in persons, and in events. Especially through persons that have helped us and that have loved us, and events that have helped us. Those ways that God works, labors, manifests to demonstrate his great love for us as a collective and as individuals. And so we pray this evening that Mary Most Holy, despite how far our society might be away from God, that her Immaculate Heart will always obtain for the Church the same passion of God's kingdom, which enlivened the very mission of Jesus Christ, a passion for God, for his lordship of love and life, and a passion for man, encountered in truth with the desire to give him the most precious treasure, the love of God, his Creator and Father.